Today is the appearance day of Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And since I'm thinking about him, meditating upon him, I thought I'd say a few things, as he's such a well-known personality, a prominent personality in ISKCON since his first joining in 67 or 68, 40 years ago. And like everything that takes place in time, there will be a time when devotees who are coming will have not seen him, but maybe just heard of him, when he'll become part of history. That's the unfortunate part of life, the inevitable part of life, that at best we all become history, and if not at best, well then we just become forgotten. Therefore, it's important that while we're in this world, we should do something by which Krishna at least doesn't forget us, and that's noteworthy within the annals of Vaishnava lore. It's hard to separate appearance day and disappearance day of Vaishnavas who have already left this world. I struggle with that every year while writing Srila Prabhupada's Vyas Puja offering, and it's extremely difficult for me to not make reference to Prabhupada's disappearance. Prabhupada had said appearance, disappearance, there's no difference between the two, and one should not lament. I take that lamenting as being lamenting as materialistic people do, not that one should be devoid of any type of sentiment. How can you be devoid of sentiment in the absence of Srila Prabhupada, in the absence of one's own spiritual master? So on Tamal Krishna Maharaj's appearance day, it's also hard for me to do anything else other than also remember his disappearance. But I'll try not to dwell on that, even though, although I wasn't there at the immediate moment of his departure, but I was present through that whole day, and it was probably one of the most intense days of my life, really being very close to the whole event. Anyway, as I said, let's turn from disappearance to appearance of Tamal Krishna Maharaj. He was also generally known as TKG by most devotees. Srila Prabhupada called him Tamal, called Tamal, where's Tamal? Others called him Hot Tamali. And whatever devotees called him, most devotees in the movement will agree that Srila Prabhupada placed great trust and faith in him. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj touched their lives, many people's lives, in one way or another. I know that he played a very important role in my life in the last 20 years that we knew each other. I say that from about 1982 on, well, even earlier, 1979 on. And the role that he played was that he really taught me many things which he had learned, which he had imbibed from his association and his very plentiful association with Srila Prabhupada. Tamal Krishna Maharaj had pretty well clear access to his divine grace when he wasn't personally in his association. And that was what I asked Tamal Krishna Maharaj in 1979, to actually teach me what he had learned from Srila Prabhupada, since Srila Prabhupada had already departed at that time. And I reminded him of that on a few occasions, but he kept it in mind and was never really stingy with what he'd gotten from Srila Prabhupada. This is, as I probably mentioned earlier, probably the most important challenge that faces the Krishna consciousness movement, whether Srila Prabhupada's disciples can pass on Prabhupada's teachings and the mood of Srila Prabhupada's teachings to successive generations, and whether those generations can take those on board and continue to pass them on. It's very important because what's in Srila Prabhupada's books are generally philosophy and the theology of Krishna consciousness, but the means of putting that into application in a dynamic Krishna consciousness movement that needs to adapt to constantly changing times and very rapidly changing times in the modern day is based upon Srila Prabhupada's person, how well we know Prabhupada's mentality and mood of how he desired to make Krishna consciousness a worldwide religion, realize it as a reality through utility being the principle, as he coined the phrase. And if we don't, we may have law books. As we speak about Srila Prabhupada's books, these are the law books for the next 10,000 years. But how to put laws into practice, how the founder or the compiler of those law books, what was his approach to justice, what was his approach to the application of the letter of the law, as well as the spirit of the law, that is almost as important as the laws themselves. So it's something that I emphasize not only on part of Srila Prabhupada's disciples who have to greater or lesser degree personal experience of that, but to next generations to make that as one of their own missions, to imbibe Srila Prabhupada's mood and teachings. And these are the two things which I would discuss with Tamal Krishna Maharaj, either when I had the opportunity to go see him or as in the later years when he would call and to see me, particularly when he was stationed in Cambridge or Oxford. And of the two, the actual things that Prabhupada said and did and how he said them, and Srila Prabhupada's mood of guiding others and giving instructions. I'll refer to that as Srila Prabhupada's bhava of spreading Krishna consciousness. The second, this mood is more important because, as I've said, there may be the letter of the law, but what's the spirit of the law? What was the spirit by which Srila Prabhupada said things, did things, established temples, preaching projects, and put to practice the teachings of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam? That is more important because it's that that gives life to Srila Prabhupada's actual words. I guess one example, let me give one example that may highlight this. And something that Tamal Krishna Maharaj repeated over and over and really pounded into me, which was how pragmatic, practical Srila Prabhupada was, sometimes to the extent of confusing even his close followers. In other words, Srila Prabhupada didn't make spreading Krishna consciousness a rigid matter of a rigid formula. Rather, he had his basic principles, like regulative principles, Harinam, distributing his books, and so on. And but how he would spread Krishna consciousness was very much based upon time, place, and circumstance. the ability or even the willingness of his devotees to follow, particularly the type of result that some strategy would have. And if these conditions were not met, if he didn't get the right result, if something was too difficult, Srila Prabhupada was often willing to take a 180-degree shift in his preaching strategy in order to get the best out of his followers, get the best that the world had to offer, and to get the best result for Krishna. And sometimes that confused devotees. Although devotees who understood his mood would agree that it was actually an example of Srila Prabhupada's extraordinary flexibility, his openness, his liberality. On one side, Prabhupada was extremely conservative. On the other side, Srila Prabhupada was very liberal, wanting to do the needful. So I find this to be a very valuable tool, valuable gift that I received from Tamal Krishna Maharaj. Aside from his friendship and love, probably the thing which stays with me the most and for which I'm most indebted to him for. I have great trust in Tamal Krishna Maharaj's interpretation and passing on of Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's teachings, because I know how dedicated he was to Srila Prabhupada at heart, and I know how much trust and faith Srila Prabhupada had in him. That's really exemplified by how Tamal Krishna Maharaj was there in the last year of Srila Prabhupada's life, and how Srila Prabhupada literally put himself into Tamal Krishna Maharaj's hands and allowed him to arrange his travel, his diet, everything, coordinate all the devotees who were at his presence. Something which was a great responsibility, was taken at great risk, because Tamal Krishna Maharaj's detractors, and I'd say probably ISKCON's detractors in the guise of supporters, criticized Tamal Krishna Maharaj for, fault him for, anyway I won't get into that controversy, and for which Srila Prabhupada had said as much when he came back from his trip to England. Prabhupada told Tamal Krishna Maharaj that you've done this thing successfully and Krishna will bless you. And I have no doubt that aside from being the person to organize Harinams, systematic book distributions, and so many other firsts that Tamal Krishna Maharaj did for spreading Krishna consciousness, that Tamal Krishna Maharaj cared for Srila Prabhupada so lovingly and so carefully in the last days of his life, in the way that devotees compared how Madhavendra Puri cared, was cared for by Ishwara Puri, that Krishna will bless him and Krishna will fulfill any and all of Tamal Krishna Maharaj's spiritual desires for taking care of his empowered representative, most dear servant, Srila Prabhupada. Now that I got into the swing, I could go on, but I won't. I'll put this up on podcast, and I hope it gives others impetus to remember Tamal Krishna Maharaj, to remember any personal association that they had with him. It'll be my meditation for the day. Tamal Krishna Maharaj is certainly part of ISKCON's history. I don't think he'll be a forgotten person. And if we also try to serve Srila Prabhupada with the same perseverance that he served Srila Prabhupada, then we'll also not be forgotten, neither by Vaishnavas, nor by Srila Prabhupada, nor by Krishna. Hare Krishna.